Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Sharma, Head of Investor Relations and Strategic Projects. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sharma.
Thank you. Hello and a warm welcome to our third quarter FY23 earnings call. I am Abhishek from the Sun Pharma Investor Relations team. We hope you have received the Q3 financials and the press release that was sent out earlier in the day. These are also available on our website. We have with us Mr. Dilip Shanghvi, Managing Director, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan, CFO, Mr. Abhay Gandhi, CEO, North America, and Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, CEO, India Business. Today, the team will discuss financial performance for the quarter, business highlights, and respond to any questions that you may have. For ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. The call recording and the call transcript will also be put up on our website shortly. The discussion today might include certain forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that the business faces. You are requested to ask two questions in the initial round. If you have more questions, you are requested to rejoin the queue. I also request all of you to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered today. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shanghvi.
Thank you, Abhishek. Welcome and thank you for joining us for this earnings call after the announcement of financial results for the quarter FY23. Let me discuss some of the highlights. Consolidated sales for the quarter were at rupees 111,001 million, recording a growth of about 13.1% year-on-year, driven by global specialty, emerging markets, and India. Our continued focus on top-line growth, operational efficiencies, and business continuity is producing results. For Q3, our global specialty revenue was at rupees 235 million, up 28.4% year-on-year. ILUMYA and WINLEVI were the key growth drivers for the quarter. In January 2023, we announced the launch of SEZABY in the U.S. for treatment of neonatal seizures. Specialty R&D accounted for approximately 26% of total R&D spend for the quarter. Abhay will give you more details on the specialty business later. I have been talking to you about our intent to increase our specialty footprint, especially in our core therapy area of dermatology, ophthalmology, and onco-derm. One condition in dermatology that doctors find particularly difficult to treat is alopecia areata due to limited number of effective approved treatments available. With that background, let me now briefly touch on the recently announced Concert Pharma acquisition. On 19th January, Sun Pharma entered into definitive agreement to acquire Concert Pharmaceuticals Incorporated. This acquisition adds a late-stage asset, deuruxolitinib, for treating alopecia areata to our global specialty portfolio. The transaction is expected to be completed in the first quarter of calendar 2023. Our immediate priority would be to follow Concert's plan to submit a new drug application for the lead asset to the U.S. FDA in the first half of calendar 2023. We can take questions on Concert today, but you need to keep in mind that we will have to restrict ourselves in what was disclosed in the press release issued at the time of announcement. Given that the transaction would require requisite regulatory approvals and the tender offer for the U.S.-listed company is expected to commence soon. In summary, we will not be able to guide to peak revenue estimates for the lead product. We will also not be able to guide projected R&D spend to bring this product to market. However, it's important to note that additional costs are expected to be incurred in R&D before the product gets commercialized. We are excited to widen our specialty offering in dermatology and plan to launch the asset across U.S. and other global markets in near future. We will be very happy to bring this product for patients globally. I will now hand over the call to Murali for discussion of the third quarter financial performance.
Thank you, Mr. Shanghvi. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to all of you. Our Q3 financials are already with you. As usual, we will look at key consolidated financials. Gross sales for Q3 are at rupees 111,001 million, up by about 13.1% over Q3 last year. Material cost as a percentage of sales was 25.3%, lower than Q3 last year due to better product mix, including higher specialty sales. Staff cost stands at 18.4% of sales. While staff cost in percentage terms are lower over Q3 last year, the increase in absolute value is attributed towards merit increase, consolidation of the Alchemee acquisition, and expansion of sales force in India. Other expenditure stands at 30.6% of sales, higher than Q3 last year. The increase in other expenditure is attributed towards higher selling and distribution expenses, consolidation of the Alchemee business, and higher R&D. As indicated in our past earnings calls, the expenses have seen an increasing trend on account of normalization of business activities. On Halol, we have indicated earlier that Halol shipment to U.S. accounted for approximately 3% revenues before the site received import alert. Apart from the loss of revenues for approximately 3 weeks in Q3, there is an increase in expense because of the import alert. This is primarily on account of provision-related inventories and some other items. EBITDA for Q3 was at rupees 30,037 million, including other operating revenues, up by 15.2% over Q3 last year, with resulting EBITDA margins at 26.7%. We have reported strong margins despite normalization of expenses and the impact of sales force expansion in India. Reported net profit for Q3 was at rupees 21,660 million, up 5.2% year-on-year compared to Q3 last year. Adjusted for one-off effects in both the periods, net profit growth was higher than the EBITDA growth for the quarter. Reported EPS for the quarter was at rupees 9 per share. Let me now discuss the key movements versus Q2 FY23. Our consolidated gross sales were higher by about 2.7% Q-on-Q at rupees 111,001  million. Material cost at 25.3% of sales and staff cost at 18.4% of sales are almost similar to Q2 levels. Other expenses at 30.6% of sales were higher compared to Q2 FY23. Increase in other expenses Q-on-Q was driven by higher sales and distribution expenses and increase in R&D spend. EBITDA for Q3 stands at rupees 30,037 million, up by about 1.6% compared to Q2, and EBITDA margin for Q3 was at 26.7% compared to 27% for Q2. Reported net profit for Q3 stands at rupees 21,660 million. Now we will discuss the 9-month performance. For the 9-month period ended 31st December 2022, gross sales were at rupees 325,533 million, a growth of 12.1% over the 9-month period last year. Excluding COVID product sales for the 9-month last year, overall sales are up by about 13.6%. Material cost for 9 months was at 25.8% of sales, lower year-on-year, mainly driven by better product mix, including higher specialty sales. While staff cost and percent of sales are similar to 9 months last year, the increase in absolute value is on account of annual merit increase, consolidation of the Alchemy business, and expansion of the field force in India. Other expenses were at 29.1% of sales, is higher than 9 months last year on account of higher selling and distribution expenses and consolidation of the Alchemy business. EBITDA for the 9 months was at rupees 88,447 million, a growth of 9.8% over the 9 months last year with resulting EBITDA margin of 26.8%. Net profit for 9 months was at rupees 64,891 million, up 6.6% over adjusted net profit of 9 months last year. As of 31st December 2022, net cash was US$1.8 billion at consolidated level and about US$621 million at ex-Taro level. Let me now briefly discuss Taro's performance. Taro posted Q3 FY23 sales of US$139 million, flat over Q3 last year, and net profit of US$7.3 million. For the 9 months, sales were at US$426 million, up by 2% over 9 months last year. Net profit for 9 months FY23 was US$18.5 million compared to US$30.9 million for 9 months FY22. Taro's financials for Q3 FY23 and 9 months FY23 included the consolidation of the Alchemy business. I will now hand over to Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, who will share the performance of our India business.
Thank you, Mr. Murali. Let me take you through the performance of our India business. For Q3, the sales of formulations in India were rupees 33,919 million, up by 7.1% year-on-year. For this 9 months, sales were at rupees 102,390,000 million, up by 10.3% like-to-like basis, excluding COVID product sales of 9 months last year. India formulation sales accounted for about 31% of total consolidated sales. There were no COVID product sales in Q3 FY23 and negligible COVID product sales in Q3 FY22. We continue to witness good growth across multiple therapy areas in chronic and the subchronic segment for the quarter. Sun Pharma is ranked number one and holds 8.5% market share in the over 1,800 billion Indian pharmaceutical market as per AIOCD AWACS MAT December 22 report. Corresponding market share for the previous period was 8.2%. As per SMSRC MAT October 22 report, we are number one ranked by prescription with 12 different doctor categories for Q3 FY23. For Q3, we have launched 25 new products in the Indian market. The Salesforce expansion has helped us to declutter our portfolio and we have been able to expand our prescriber base in key therapeutic categories. We are also increasing penetration in metros, Tier 2 and Tier 3 town. Focus in near term will be to continue to improve the Salesforce productivity. I will now hand over the call to Abhay.
Thank you, Kirti. I will briefly discuss the performance highlights of our U.S. businesses. For Q3, our overall sales in the U.S. grew by about 6.3% over Q3 last year to US$422 million. The main driver of growth was the specialty business driven by Ilumya and Winlevi. U.S. accounted for over 31% of consolidated sales for the quarter. Specialty sales have also grown compared to September 22 quarter, and we remain excited on growth opportunities in the current portfolio. Let me now update you on our U.S. generics business. The Sun ex-Taro generics business has marginally declined on YOY basis due to stoppage of US shipments from Halol in December 22. Over the last year, this business has gained from a combination of new products, market share gains for existing products, and better supply chain management. For quarter three, we launched two generic products in the US on a next arrow basis. I will now hand the call back to Mr. Shangli.
Thank you, Abhay. I will briefly discuss the performance highlights of our other businesses as well as give you an update on our R&D initiatives. Our formulation sales in emerging markets were at US$257 million for Q3, up by around 7.7% year-on-year. The underlying growth in constant currency value was at about 14%. Emerging markets accounted for about 19% of total sales for Q3. Formulation sales in rest of the world market, excluding US and emerging markets, were US$189 million in Q3, higher by about 4.8% over Q3 last year. The revenues of US$189 million includes a milestone payment received of 12.5 million. Rest of the world market accounted for about 14% of consolidated Q3 revenue. API sales for Q3 were ₹5,154 million, up by around 9.4% over Q3 last year. We continue to invest in building our R&D pipeline for both the global generics and specialty business. Consolidated investments towards R&D for Q3 FY23 stands at ₹6,702 million, 6% of sales, and this compares to ₹5,471 million, 5.6% of sales for Q3 22, and ₹5,710 million, 5.3% of sales in Q2 23. Our current generic pipeline for the US market includes 96 ANDAs and 13 NDAs awaiting approval with the FDA. Our specialty R&D pipeline includes 4 molecules undergoing clinical trial. We should be able to update the status of this trial in our next call. The R&D investments have increased compared to Q2, and we expect a continued ramp up of the same. R&D investments are likely to increase both for our specialty and generic businesses. The board has declared an interim dividend of ₹7.5 per share for the year FY23 against ₹7 per share interim dividend for the previous year. With this, I would like to leave the floor open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a decent set of numbers. Firstly, on Concert Pharma, I understand. So I don't want any specific number, but directionally, if you can, you know, help us understand in terms of the cost structure and R&D spend, the intensity would be similar to calendar year 22 in calendar year 23, or should it directionally come down or go up? If you can, you know, give us the direction in terms of cost structure intensity.
I think it's difficult to give information in context of the what you call limited information we have, and also a need to kind of be cognizant of the restrictions. But conceptually, you need to keep in mind that they have announced that the phase 3 trial is complete, and they are in the process of filing the product, or they wish to file the product in the first half.
Okay. Secondly, on the other expenses, was there any one-off in this quarter, or was there any cost related to Concert acquisition which may not be there in the coming quarters, or was it a normal cost structure?
So it was a normal cost structure, as said in the readout. It was on account of the normalization of the operations. There is no one-off or anything related to the transaction.
And last, just a clarification, if I look at our specialty business, the revenue share sequentially have moved up meaningfully. But if I look at the gross margin, which looks flat, can you help us understand this math, sir?
So as far as the cost is concerned, while we agree that the specialty business has increased, it will help us to improve the margins. However, COGS is also a function of product and other geography mix. So as a result of which, what we'll say is that the COGS, what is trending, is as per our overall expectations.
All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
The portfolio has been now increasing for the three quarters. So is it to do with the new...
Mr. Manudhane, sir, I would request you to please repeat your question. There was some audio loss. Thank you.
Is it better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is with respect to the R&D cost on the specialty front. So that has been increasing for the past three quarters now. So is it to do with the new indication for Ilumya?
Yeah, I think we've guided that we had challenges in terms of ramping up the clinical studies because of the COVID, and subsequently because of the war in Russia as well as Ukraine. So that had affected recruitment of new subjects. So I think I had explained that we will gradually find a way to identify new sites and find a way to accelerate the recruitment.
That's interesting. Sir, just on your comment in terms of intent to increase the specialty footprint, so if either in terms of the number of MRs or in terms of the absolute cost increase, if you can help us in the for FY24?
No, I mean, what I shared is that our increasing focus on growing the specialty business. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that we would be strengthening the field force or anything at this point of time.
Understood. And then secondly, on the India business, where there has been addition of a good sales force, there has been 25-30 launches on a quarterly basis for almost 3-4 quarters now. But 3QFY23 seems to be subdued at 7% year over year. So any particular thing you would like to call out?
I think the quarter three was slightly below the market, that is 7.7%. But if you look at our MAT December growth, which is higher than the market, so MAT, like, we are growing, market is growing at 7.7% and we are going by 11.3%. So in the quarter three, is what has happened is, like, as you know, Istavel and Istamet, these were the two products we licensed from Merck, and they went off patent in the month of for July. And after that, we have made this product affordable. So these were a big brands where we have made the product attractive and make it affordable for the patient. So we have lost some top line, but at the same time, we are maintaining our market share in terms of unit. So that has impacted our growth in quarter three. And as well as we had some challenges is one of the business unit in gastro where the growths were not as per expectations. But other than that, all other therapy areas, either we are in line with market or growing better than the market.
So gastro challenge is being addressed now. So we can be back to growth path in the coming quarters.
Yeah, that's our continuous effort is wherever we see some of the areas not growing as per our expectations. We try and address some of these issues. They take time also. It's not the next quarter it will get addressed. But over a period of couple of quarters, I think they should come back to growth in line with market.
That's it. And just lastly, if I may squeeze in, so this milestone receipt sits in ROW sales, right?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for taking my question. First, just one clarification on other expenses. I think in your opening remarks, you said that there was some kind of inventory provision related to the product being not supplied from Halol, etc. So would you be able to quantify that?
So while we have taken the requisite provisions regarding the inventory and other items, for the same time, it's not very significant.
Okay. And there are no kind of failure to supply penalties or the remediation costs, etc., included in other expenses. Yes.
Whatever in terms of needs to be considered in the current quarter has been considered relevant hits, and then they are not significant enough.
Okay. Perfect. My first question basically is on Winlevi. So I think you know this product has featured as a kind of growth driver for specialty sales for the first time. You know, is there any particular thing that has changed in the US? You know, which is kind of helping us grow faster in this product now? Because as far as you know, we are concerned, whatever prescription data we follow is generally showing quarter on quarter more or less kind of flat. Prescription data. So is there anything fundamentally changed there?
So the prescriptions that you see today are more profitable than in the past quarter because there has been an improvement in access. I mean, having said that, I mean, on various calls I have said that improvement of access is an ongoing process. There is no finite time to completion of that. It will happen all through the course of the life cycle of the product. And we have a long way to go in terms of improving that even further.
Okay. So is it fair to say we have like onboarded a big PBM right now or in this quarter?
Sorry, can you repeat your question? Fair to say what?
We have onboarded a big pharmacy benefits manager or an insurance company who is managing their PBM on their own. But we still see there's a lot of scope.
True.
And this kind of onboarding, does it help with the negotiating with other guys as well? And the big guys, basically.
I mean, we have to see. I mean, there are competitive dynamics even amongst the players. So whether it helps us, time will tell. But we certainly would try our level best to convince the other players also to cover the product.
Perfect. Thank you. And second question on Durubzovitinib, given there is another molecule with a very similar kind of chemical structure approved, will this be counted as a new chemical entity for us?
I mean, this definitely will be a new chemical entity.
So it would come with the associated exclusivity, et cetera, if it gets approved.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Two questions on the Concert acquisition. First, if I were to think about, you know, the lead asset here, you know, have you, you know, is, how do you think about reimbursement, you know, and formulary coverage for the product? You know, there was, since this could be seen as more, not fully, but more cosmetic use versus, you know, medical use. That's my first question. And second, you know, how does this product fit into our existing presence in derma with ILUMYA and the other products? Just trying to understand, you know, the additional investment that would be required to commercialize this product outside the R&D investment that you mentioned.
So, Abhay, would you respond?
I'll respond to the first part. I mean, from a science and medical perspective, AA or alopecia areata is clearly not a cosmetic condition. However, like what you said, a lot of peers, not doctors, but definitely peers, may have that kind of a perception in mind. And I think the task for us, even prior to launch, will be to sell the concept and make payers understand that this is a medical condition and not a cosmetic condition. And then therefore try and get. I think in that, I think the doctors that we are speaking to and the KOLs are pretty clear. And they will also be, you know, helping put out that story.
Understood. But, you know, is the additional R&D that you mentioned prior to commercialization, you know, associated with us helping, you know, to help get better formulary coverage when we launch the product?
So, data that we will generate from the R&D efforts will be used in various forms. The same data will be used with HCPs and in a modified form used with the payers and PBMs and even the buyers of the product. So data is data. It is how you present it to relevant audiences that will make a difference in eventually how all elements of the market dynamics interplay and have a positive impact on the product.
Understood. And my second question, how does this product fit into the existing footprint that we have in derma from a sales force perspective, doctor coverage perspective?
So like Mr. Shanghvi also said in his readout, I mean, we have covered in psoriasis, we have products in acne, actinic keratosis. This was one unmet need. So it enhances the basket of offering that we have for dermatologists and doctors who treat dermatology conditions. So I think from an indication perspective, it is a clear fit into what we already do. And there is a significant overlap between the HCPs that we need and the HCPs who are likely to be treating alopecia.
Understood. And just one last clarification on the R&D spend. Is the R&D, additional R&D included in the guidance that we have mentioned in the past of 7 to 8% of sales? Or should we look at it over and above that?
I think we are currently underperforming in terms of the, what you call, spend.
Yes,
but
sir.
Even if this gets added, I think we will get the cost only for a month or so.
No, no, sir. I mean for, from a guidance perspective for next year, since you mentioned additional R&D.
The guidance we will give next year. Because I think we will look at the way all the products in different stages of development, like what I also shared here. We should be able to also share some clinical outcome progress with some of the other studies. So that we will give that guidance.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you and good evening, everyone. So is it possible for you to talk a bit more about Halol situation in the sense that, A, for the 14 exempted products, would you be able to, you know, restore, you know, all the sales? B, would you be using this site for non-US markets? And C, how many ANDAs have been filed from your pending approval or any color around any high-value product? So are you looking to site switch?
So I think Abhay can give more information about the exam product and what kind of sales we will be able to maintain. But we will look at what you call the important products approved or in the process of getting approval for switching or filing from additional sites.
Okay.
Can you add to what Jisanji said? I mean, a lot of business that we will be talking about retaining or losing will be product specific, and the situation is still a little fluid, I would say. Attempt will be obviously to retain all of it, but I don't think all of it will be retained. Some of it, you can assume, will be lost to competition.
Okay, very clear.
The attempt will be to minimize that.
Okay, very clear. And would you be using this site for non-US market, or you would first rather get it back in remediation?
No, I think we are in touch with the other regulatory agencies, but site is being used for supplies to other geographies.
Okay. Okay, great. So second question is on the specialty portfolio. And, you know, the prescription for Winlevi had kind of dipped around, if I remember correctly, October, November. And they have been inching up, so I think they're back to 8,000 a week. But before that, it used to be 9 to 10,000, so we're still not back up. So just any thoughts on that? And second, also on Ilumya, if I see the IMS dollar data for 3Q, which is October, November, December, it's just flat quarter on quarter versus, you know, our primary sales being up. So anything to read through, or it's just a bit of an aberration?
So the first part to your question, I mean, prescriptions are moving up, not at the pace that we would like, but they are moving up. And I think we had made some changes to our copay plan, and then we had improvement in the access. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, the growth trajectory will be able to maintain. And this is about your question on Winlevi, of course. On Ilumya, I mean, personally, I don't see a challenge because of the channel that we are strong in, that is the medical benefit channel. Not all of that sale that you see in the IMS will be completely reflected. So if I see, and of course on the call I cannot discuss, but if I see the sales till yesterday for the month of January, I feel pretty strong that, you know, the positive momentum will continue.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
sector. So what I understood was these 14 exempt products currently are not getting sold.
Please repeat your question. There was some audio loss.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, just wanted to understand this import alert situation better. So currently what I understand is 14 exempted products are not being sold, and there are some activities that would be required to get these products enter the US shore. So is that understanding right, and what is the value of these 14 products?
So Abhay, you would like to answer or
no, whichever way.
I think you will have more current information, sir.
So batch by batch, the products that we have in India, we have started releasing to market after discussions with our quality team as well as external consultants and lawyers. And for the fresh product which we are getting from India, as you said, there is a process to be followed, which we will follow and try and fulfill the needs of the market. And product-wise and category-wise, we don't give out numbers, so I can't really give an answer to your question of the exact contribution of these products.
So of the 155, is it half of the product's sales or is it less than half? Some direction will help. And when you say batch by batch, it is the FDA, you are releasing batch by batch or they are accepting batch by batch, if there can be any clarity there.
We are releasing it batch by batch after thorough testing of the products.
Okay. And they are accepting it?
Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
I think you should have clarity that it's a decision by the Sun Quality to release the batch. FDA doesn't accept anything. Everything that we do is open for future audit.
Okay, but when you release it batch by batch, it can be sold in the U.S. market. Is that understandable?
Batch by batch, release for the U.S. market.
Okay. And sir, direction on the 14 exempted products, it could be less than half or around half of your $155 million sales?
So Abhay mentioned we are not giving any specific product-related revenues or disclosure.
Okay.
And overall, I think you have guided that the total impact on the overall company sales is not more than 3%. That should give you some direction. Right.
And so when you said that you have taken some provisions, so is it adjusted with COGS or is it a line item with other expenses? How should we think about that? And going forward also, how is all the provisions taken yet?
So it's lying in both in COGS and other expenses and are not very significant as I shared earlier.
Not significant henceforth?
When I said whatever we have baked in the current quarter in the COGS and other expense line is not very significant, I said.
Okay, but most of it has been taken or is yet to be taken, sir?
We have baked in whatever is we are fully aware of, completely we have recognized it.
Okay, lovely. And lastly, on ROW and EM sales, so dollar terms, I was looking at 2-year CAGR and 3-year CAGR. It remains 2-3% kind of CAGR dollar terms. So is there any focus in terms of additional launches, or is it because of the high COVID base, or how should we think about growth in ROW and EM?
I think the growth is significantly more than 2-3%. I don't have 3-year data in front of me, but if I understand the relative percentage that the emerging market and other markets have on the overall company performance, it's not, it's actually gaining in terms of overall share. So in spite of growth in other markets, it's growing faster.
So I have data from Q3 21 to Q3 20.
I think, can you then take it up separately with Abhishek and rework the numbers?
We will do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. Just looking at global specialty sales, QOQ, 200 million has gone to 223, I'm excluding the milestone. That's about 20 million odd. But when I look at non-Taro US formulation, it's flat, right? 282 million, saying to 283. So just want to understand growth of specialty, US versus non-US. Looks like there's been a bigger contribution from non-US. I'm obviously making an assumption on non-Taro generic, but just wanted your thoughts.
No, I mean, we have the data. You don't, but we, I think for a specific reason, we are not sharing the detailed this, and I understand that it creates a challenge for you trying to estimate. Our own general feedback is that I think the business is growing both in U.S. as well as in other geographies.
Thank you, Dilip, but just anything on ROW, because intuitively it seems to have grown faster. So have we done better in any of the other markets? I think that's where the underlying question was.
So you're asking for specialty business or ROW?
Yes, just I'm doing only specialty. Only specialty, global specialty, non-US.
It's specialty business and ROW is not very large.
Got it. Got it. Helpful. Just a second question on...
What you must be mixing up is mm-hmm. that the royalty income is included in the...
No, no. I excluded this, sir. I excluded the 12.5 million. So 200 has gone to 220.
It is very small part of the overall business.
Got it. No, no problem, sir.
The US and Europe.
Got it. So I meant non-US as even Europe. So if there is something that's happening incrementally in Europe, either through Almirall or others, that is also something that that will be useful to know.
No, I think Almirall is doing quite well with the product, and that is why they triggered the milestone. But I don't see dramatic difference in the performance. And you need to know that in Europe, what happens is that different countries, based on a different point of time when they get reimbursement, the sales pick up.
Got it, sir. Helpful. Just a second question on the Concert deal from a financing perspective. I think I missed the ex-Taro cash balance for the quarter or the December end. How will we be financing it? And just the next few steps, if you could highlight, what should we be looking out for?
So we have already given our in the press release in terms of the options we have in terms of financing the transaction. So beyond that, we will not be able to comment how we'll be funding this transaction at this point of time. And the process has also been shared, which has been filed with Concert also, so which is out in public in terms of what we're following being a listed entity.
Got it, Melissa. Thank you. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shantan Maji from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I believe in the initial readout, the year-on-year increase in specialty was driven by Ilumya and Winlevi. So what would have led to, you know, quarter-on-quarter increase? Are Ilumya and Winlevi, is it mainly because of Ilumya and Winlevi, or has there been a benefit from seasonality and stocking up as well? Because dermatology portfolio usually has a favorable seasonality in 3Q.
There was a lot of breakup in the audio, so I'm really not sure what the question is.
Yeah, let me repeat it. Is it better?
Please. Yeah, much better. Thank you.
So I was saying that in the initial readout, you mentioned that the year-on-year increase in specialty was mainly led by Ilumya and Winlevi. So I just wanted to check, are these the two factors for quarter-on-quarter increase as well? And would
seasonality and stocking up by, you know,
are you, sorry, I'm sorry again. Are you what? You said are you, and then I couldn't get the next couple of
So I was asking seasonality and stocking up benefit were were the meaningful contributors.
There is no real stocking up on these products.
Okay. And my second question is on Concert acquisition. So there is an ongoing litigation that is going on between Insight and Concert. So would the outcome of this event be a material one in order to, you know, launch the product on time, or is it something which is already taken care of?
Yeah, we are aware, but we are not commenting on that right at this point of time.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for answering questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my questions. The first question I had was on Concert acquisition. So the cash balance of Concert seems to be at $140 million. So how will we be treating this cash balance? And will the cash balance in Concert be fungible for Sun Pharma going forward, or will we be using this only for Concert?
So we will be dealing with the opening balance sheet as per the purchaser's accounting post-transaction close.
Okay, that's helpful. And on the generic pricing erosion for Taro, we just wanted to understand on, you know, given that the operating income has picked up this quarter versus the last quarter, do you kind of see this trend continuing for Taro? And how do you see the generic pricing trend for, you know, the ex-Taro business in terms of new product launches and market share gains in existing products?
So Taro has, I think in their release, said that they continue to see pricing challenges. I think beyond that, for us to respond on this call would not be appropriate.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Sir, first on the SESB launch, if you can just provide us some sense of the opportunity, the way we're seeing this, opportunity for this product going forward.
So, we believe it's a very good product in a very serious indication of neonatal seizures, where there was no approved product and only desi products were available. And therefore, I think we licensed it from Spark. Just launched it literally last week, so too soon to say, but we are obviously very optimistic about the product and potential.
So this is the operator. Mr. Gandhi, the audio is not clear your line.
Okay, nothing changed. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, sir.
So I don't know how much you caught of what I said. I think we believe it's an important product. And in neonatal seizures, which is a very serious indication, an approved product is something that gives comfort to the doctors in the institutions as well as to the caregivers of the patients. So I think we are very hopeful this will be a good product, of course.
And I mean, just following up on that, you know, these grandfathered products, which are unapproved products, which are there, is there a timeline for the FDA to remove them from the market, or how does that process work?
There is some modeling which we did, but it is not definitive of how it will be looked at by the FDA. For different products, it could be treated differently, and it is also a function of the FDA to be able to believe that there will not be any drug shortage and the new product will be able to satisfy the demand of the market.
So this is not a laid out procedure that, you know, once you get an approved product for a, you know, in a category,
there is no laid out procedure that, you know, within X number of months or weeks the existing products are asked to go out of market. There is no such established procedure, but it's something that we will have to work with the FDA, convince them, and it's a process that we will have to go through.
And second, on this exclusivity period, how long do we exclusivity do we get on a molecule like this? Is this a regular 20 commercial exclusivity will be how long for this kind of product?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is 7 years.
Thank you, Mr. Agarwal. We request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. The question is related to recently acquired from Duroxolotinib. So, sir, can you also...
Mr. Agarwal, please use the handset mode, sir. The audio is not clear from your line.
The question is related to Duroxolotinib. So, sir, can you also comment on the safety profile of the drug, how this is compared to the product?
No, I think whatever is in the public domain, based on which I think it's a relatively safe product with a, what I would call a benign kind of side effect profile that was reported in the studies that are in public domain. The phase 3 studies I think are in line with or maybe in the line with that. So I think it's a safe and very effective product. That's why I think I talked about this in a context of best-in-class product.
Thank you. The current participant has left the question queue. We'll take the next question from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on Halol again. So what kind of remediation cost do you foresee for resolving the pending issues there? And also, how do you see your U.S. generic sales trending over next few quarters, ex-Halol? Do you think you have headroom to minimize impact of sales lost at Halol from other facilities?
What I think we shared at the time of sharing the information about Halol is that based on this, we expect the impact to be less than 3% and of the total sales, and we are not changing or revising our guidance because of this. Now,
regarding the cost, yeah, regarding the remediation cost which you might be spending for issues there.
So I think we are not sharing specific information, but there will be a certain amount of consultants and remediation costs associated with the bringing the facility back in compliance. There may also be some new investments which may be required. So, but that's part of the remediation process.
And any timeline, like what you're targeting, by when you can see resolution of issues? Because this plant has been under FDA scrutiny for some time now.
No, I agree with you that it has been under scrutiny and in a OAI status for a very long time. So we need to find a way to resolve the issue. And that's what we are working for.
Okay. My second question is on Taro financials. So the SG&A associated there seems to be trending at around 50 million a quarter. So how should we see this cost going ahead? I understand that this includes Alchemy, but if you can comment on SG&A number for Taro.
So Taro has published the results. They also given the press release. Being a public company, I don't think we'll be able to share more information than what they have shared.
Okay. My last question is, where do you book Almirall-related benefits in your financials?
Milestone income, we said, is coming in ROW.
So this is milestone income, but in a regular quarter, where do you capture this number if there is no milestone, say like normal contribution coming from Almirall?
The normal sales is goes into overall whatever sell to Almirall goes to revenues.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Pathirampil from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Most questions answered. Just one question. Believe by like you shared the revenue contribution from Hello. Would you be able to do that regarding the Mohali facility as well? Because there is still some FDA issues going on there.
I mean, I don't have the details with me, but I mean, we don't either give out revenue from plants or from separate businesses. Alone we gave out because I think it's important for investors to be able to evaluate the impact.
Understood. Yeah. And just a question on Sesabi. Would you be able to define the market in terms of number of patients treated a year for this indication, etc., something like that?
Abhay, would you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the number in front of me, but yes, that number is available. So if you can, you know, I mean, I will share it with Abhishek post this call, and maybe you can connect with him offline and get that.
Sure, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harith Hamid from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. On the Concert acquisition, will you be able to comment on the purchase price allocation with the consideration of 570-odd million reflect largely as intangibles on our balance sheet, or will there be a significant goodwill creation? And the intangibles will be amortized over what period, if you can give some color?
So we, as we explained in the opening remarks, on 19 January, we signed the definitive agreement. The transaction has to close, which we expect to close probably in the first quarter of this calendar year. Once completed, we will do the full-blown purchase discounting. At that time, relevant things will be taken care of.
Okay. And from an accounting standpoint, these payouts associated with the CVRs, will there be a liability created on our balance sheet for these potential payouts?
There are multiple options available to treat this type of continuing value rights, which we'll evaluate along with the consultants at the time of finalizing the purchase price accounting.
Okay. And then one question on generic Revlimid. We have disclosed a settlement for that product. Any color that you could share on the timelines for launch? Will this be an FY24 launch for us or is it much later?
So, Abhay, I think we've given some guidance in the past.
We are on track for launch.
Yes, that's what we are saying. Yes.
Okay, but we're not confirming it's a FY24 product.
No, all we have said is that we are on track as per the settlement with the innovator to launch. And there is no change to that in the quarter. Yeah.
Correct. That's what we have said.
Okay. Okay. That's all from my side.
I had lost audio for a few seconds.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just first question on the Concert again. Sir, how critical is the long-term tolerability study for the success of the molecule, sir? And that is one. And secondly, whether this is just a lead molecule that is what we are acquiring through this acquisition, or there is a potential other platform technology as well as the product opportunity that we are acquiring.
So I think the key focus or interest for us was deuruxolitinib and its proximity to market and its ability to help the alopecia areata patient who are currently not having any approved good approved product for treating that condition. However, the company also has licensed products to other companies, and they have some products which are not even licensed, but they have intellectual property. So I think as we develop better sense and understanding, we will share if there is any significant additional opportunity that we are able to identify from the pipeline.
And this is a cash-free, debt-free kind of acquisition, or because just wanted to have a more clarity about the cash number that what we are seeing in the
acquisition. It's a debt-free acquisition. Cash will follow along with the company.
Sure. Okay. So my next question is on the cost side. So basically, we are seeing a kind of some impact, obviously, on the other expenses front. And that could be because of multiple factors, but I'm just trying to understand to what extent this is led by, let's say, Taro's underperformance, because it is Alchemy acquisition. Post that, obviously, we are seeing some impact on the cost side. So if you can share on that front.
We already in the readout said that the increase in other expenses is driven by the higher selling and distribution expense across various geographies, higher R&D spend, and also the consolidation of Alchemy business. Separately, we will not be able to give any number what's related to Alchemy business or other components which is lying in the other expenses.
Okay. Because if we just adjust the licensing income, then the cost structure even looks slightly deteriorated. So that is why. So this licensing income, this milestone income could be a kind of a pure cash component.
Correct.
Adjusted for that, cost structure looks slightly deteriorated. That is why.
But license income is not, it's part of the revenue, right? Operating revenue, other operating revenue.
Okay. Okay. And just last one question, sir, relating to the R&D. Now, considering the kind of nature of our activities and the intent to expand our specialty portfolio, so let's say in next 2 year period, the R&D spend mix towards the specialty would be to what extent of the total R&D spend directionally?
No, I think We've shared with investors that our focus is on creating a significant additional engine of growth through specialty business, and we've been diligently building that business. And that business will require investment in new clinical studies, R&D. So we will commit all of that whenever that becomes necessary. But we don't give guidance beyond the next year. So that's where I think I have the challenge. But directionally, I think we would be strengthening our ability to execute on various specialty-related investments.
Sure, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Sheth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, sir. I just had one question on the India business. Would it be possible to give a split for the pricing-led, volume-led, and new product-led growth for this quarter and 9 months?
No, I think actually the what you call syndicated research, AVAX as well as IQVIA, give you that information.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Niket from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead. Niket, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. Niket, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Smith from RDA. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Why have we discontinued ANDA approval for generic Vela?
What is that?
Generic Vela, cariprazine.
Cariprazine?
Yeah, right.
Now, what is the question?
I mean, why have we discontinued the ANDA approval?
I don't know what
ANDA approval for cariprazine.
Is that a public domain information? I don't know. We don't give information related to future products.
No, because it is approved and then we discontinue it. So
that must be business reasons.
Because it is a fairly large product in US. So is it still meaningful opportunity for us?
Honestly, I am also not aware. I need to check back and then come back.
Okay.
No, since we are not aware, I think it's better that you speak to Abhishek and get information.
Okay, I will. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Hayanki from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have two questions. The first question is on the nature of other expenses. So I think you have commented that selling and distribution costs have gone up in this quarter. So I wanted to understand what has led to this increase in selling and distribution costs for the quarter, and is it a structural increase?
So selling and distribution expenses, I mentioned that increase across geographies. However, we also mentioned specifically the field force expansion is fully completed in the beginning of this fiscal for India. So obviously, in the current year, you will see a full expenses related to S&D for those new field force added. So that's why overall you're seeing an increase in the higher S&D spend.
So this is something you are saying it's increased across the employee spend as well as SG&A.
Yes, staff cost more related to the new field for expansion is obviously the full year impact is there, plus also the related spend on the S&D rate to the field force.
Okay, understood. The second question is on the Halol side. I mean, we continue to face trouble in this. So my question is, to Mr. Sanghvi, that what is the core reason for this repeated issue at Halol? I mean, most of it, of course, will be retrospective, but and what have we done to, like, address it over the past few years?
I think clearly whatever that we thought we needed to do, we've done, but it was not adequate. So we need to strengthen our ability to ensure that the expectation of the regulatory agency are met. We believe that we've now put in place an appropriate focus and structure so that we should be able to meet the expectation of the agencies. I think at the same point of time, we need to also keep in mind that a large number of our other facilities supplying to the US are in compliance. And we continue to, what you call,
grow our business in the US in spite of significant pricing pressure as well as challenges in the marketplace.
So is it because, I mean, we all understand Halol is one of a large and old complex which has got multiple dosage production. So is it because of it being an old plant or is it because of, you know, shortage of proper skill sets, or is it because of evolving standards of FDA? And is this something which, I mean, the practices here, is it something that you would be having across your other sites as well? Because of which you could, it could be a systematic issue which has to be addressed?
I think the company policy is that whatever changes we make in one plant, if it is applicable and related to other facility, it is automatically put in priority for implementation in that facility. Now, Halol, rather than being an old plant, I think we've made huge consecutive investments and it's become a very large and complex facility. So we have to find a way to reduce the complexity.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. So just quick question. You know, the products which are of a lot of interest, you know, is semaglutide and liraglutide. And, you know, it could be interesting market. So any thoughts you can share? I can see that Sun is among the 4 to 6 filers, you know, for this product. You think it can get competitive? You still think it's going to be attractive opportunity? Just your thoughts would be great, sir.
So semaglutide is far away, Sameer. I think liraglutide is relatively recent. But my expectation is that by the time the patent expires and we can come to the market, a large part of the current patients would have moved over to Ozempic. So to that extent, we have to look at a residual market at the time of patent expiry.
Okay, that's great, sir. It's very helpful. And just one more, if I can, on Deroxo, and that is, you know, it's a JAK1 and 2 inhibitor, and we have this, Olumiant in the market. So is that pricing and other JAKs, are those pricing surveys a good benchmark for our product? I know it's still some time, but any thoughts on that?
So my
we have no firm decision taken of where the pricing could be. Sorry, Dilip, you were saying something.
I think the idea would be to develop a comprehensive understanding on the price at which we can fully benefit from the value of the product, and also patients have ability to access a effective treatment option.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Few quick clarifications, sir. Firstly, in the press release, we have mentioned that the adjusted for one-off, the PAT growth in this quarter was higher than EBITDA. So can you just help me, what was the one-off last year, same quarter?
So last year, same quarter, we have disclosed there was interest on income tax refund and there was one settlement income. We disclosed that has been adjusted to the extent.
Okay, okay. And in terms of the net MR addition in 9 months this financial year, can you share that number as well?
Yeah, that's in India market.
Yeah.
Net addition.
We have completed the MR addition, like 1,000 MR we have added in this financial year. So that part we have completed.
And lastly, qualitatively on the especially lit.
Sorry, yeah.
The line for the current participant is disconnected. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So just on the Duroxolitinib, with the current kind of clinical data we have, would we be able to, you know, apply for approval outside U.S. With the current clinical data that we have?
Yeah, I think we have to evaluate country by, I mean, geography by geography. Some geographies may require additional studies. Some geographies we may be able to file the existing portfolio. So we have to take, if it needs extra investment, we have to take country by country decision. But it's a large enough product for us to seriously look at potential across geography.
Okay, and those additional studies would be more like a bridging studies or kind of a full-fledged trial that we need to conduct, at least for a bigger geographies like Europe or Japan.
My understanding is that Europe may not require a additional study because quite a few of the centers in the study were also in Europe. So it may not require a separate study. I'm talking more about Japan, China, and these countries where maybe what studies will be required, we have to get interact with the regulators and develop and understand.
Sure. And just on Mohali, after it has been kind of classified as OAI, has there been any communication with US FDA in terms of further CAPAs, etc., we would have submitted?
I think there is a structured process about updating FDA about of this, what you call response to 483 and what we are doing. So that, and there is a certain periodicity of that we follow.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just trying to understand, the Taro cash. I understand, Taro has a separate company, but you are the promoters and Taro is not hosting any calls anymore. How do we think about the utilization of that cash? Can they use this cash for, similar asset acquisitions like you did, in the specialty side or, it's been there for long and it's accumulating. So what are the thoughts as a promoter?
So the idea would be to find a profitable end use of the surplus cash so that it can be put to use. We constantly evaluate opportunities both in Sun as well as in Taro. Taro also has a separate business development group and they also constantly evaluate opportunities. So hopefully, I think with rationalization of valuation, we should be able to do something.
And just a request, if you could have at least an annual call for Taro, that would be very useful.
We would communicate that or share it with them.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Sharma for closing comments.
Thanks everyone for joining in today. Kindly reach out to the IR team for any remaining questions that you may have. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.